Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. QT and Sound Guy with you like usual. And we want to jump right into things with our guest today. He is with us, Caribbean Tiger. Thank you for taking time out of your Sunday to be with us. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. And thank you for the invite.
Well, since it's your first time with us, we'll start you out with our traditional first-timer question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
Well, professional wrestling has been a dream of mine since Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan. I was a huge Ultimate Warrior fan since he was way back and known as Dingo Warrior. As everybody knew, and everybody was always wondering what a dingo was. But I just saw a big guy, colorful, you know, teaming up with Sting. And since then, I would just follow them. So Ultimate Warrior was my inspiration. From there, you know, just being bigger than life, larger than life character was such an inspiration. After that, I started following HBK when he was in the Rockers. So I'm all about the flamboyancy, the being huge and so colorful. And after that, you know, Chris Benoit came aboard, and then I saw more wrestling technique, and I just incorporated all my favorites into one, and here I am.
Getting into pro wrestling, did you have a background that was going to prepare you for what wrestling was like? Did you have a amateur wrestling career? Did you participate in other sports? Did you have a dramatic background? Anything that sort of led up to the training?
Well, I've been acting my whole life. I always liked the acting life. So I've done commercials. I've done TV in Puerto Rico. I've done movies for Hollywood and as extra, of course. And that was my acting. I always liked to be the center of attention and be behind the cameras. Also, I've done Taekwondo. I'm a black belt in Taekwondo, and I've been doing Taekwondo for over 20 years, and as well as boxing. I've done boxing too. I was in the military for a while, so I'm also certified in military combatives. So fighting, entertainment, sports, you know, I consider myself pretty agile my whole life and very athletic. So I think one thing, yeah, helps to the other in the entertainment area. But normally, you know, as much as you think that you will think fighting will help you out in wrestling, nothing is like wrestling, because like from Taekwondo, you learn how to stay standing and not fall. And then when they start teaching you, hey, you need to fall this way, you're like, what? What do you mean falling on the ground? But hey, you got to do what you got to do.
Now, you, of course, are the Caribbean Tiger, and in professional wrestling's long history, there's been a lot of professional wrestling that's happened in the Caribbean. Of course, Puerto Rico is a long-storied wrestling history behind it. There's also wrestling all over other countries in the Caribbean, Trinidad, the Dominican, a lot of countries in the Caribbean have had professional wrestling on a regular basis. Do you find yourself sort of a student of the game when it comes to the Caribbean wrestling history?
I would not say a student of the wrestling in the Caribbean, although it's very similar. I mean, when you look at stars like Carlos Colon and Tiki Star, Invader, El Medico, and Hercules Ayala, and then, of course, we have all these WWE wrestlers coming down to Puerto Rico. Yes, the fans of the Caribbean and especially down in Puerto Rico are more aggressive, and they get very into the matches. I started wrestling in Texas, and in Texas the fans are very, very into the matches. They're very passionate about what they see, and they love it too. So I see myself more of an American style of a wrestler, but I'm also very grounded. So I'm a mix of everything. Yes, I was inspired by those Puerto Rican wrestlers back then, and also as I was inspired, like I said, also watching WWE back when it was WWF with the Ultimate Warrior and whatnot. But I will say, yes, I'm a good mix of both of the culture of the Latino and Mexican wrestling as well as the American side.
For a while in the 1980s, the Florida Territory recognized a Caribbean championship. They call it the Bahamas title, and they would regularly have that title defended on cards in the Bahamas and in the Dominican and other countries in the Caribbean, as well as in Florida. The perennial champion there was usually Tyree Pride. Did you ever go back and look at footage of the Caribbean title matches that the Florida Territory produced?
No, I actually never did. I was more focused in WCCW, WWC, NWA, WWF, and of course later on that WCW came up. I was more focused on those areas. I never actually just concentrated on Florida. I actually didn't know that I could become a professional wrestler until I actually was in Texas. I always wanted to be one, but I didn't know how to train or whatnot, or where I should have gone. And then once I landed in Texas, I find out about all the schools that are in Texas and that you can actually train and become a professional wrestler. That's how I got into it.
One of your opponents that I know you've wrestled before is someone we've had on this very program before, and he is very famous in the North Carolina region, that being Seymour Snot. I know you've had some matches with him. What can you tell us about your matches against Seymour Snot?
Well, matches against Seymour Snot, he's very competitive. He's a guy that can actually put everything together in a match, and that's match style. I like to call everything in the ring. He was a great competitor. It was a lot. Every single time that I get in the ring with him, I have a lot of fun. And that's what I like to do when I get in the ring against anybody that I go against. My focus is to entertain the fans. My focus is to tell a story. My focus is to make sure that every single fan is entertained and that they get them into the match as much as they can. So Seymour, yes, it was a blast working with him. And then, unfortunately, due to COVID-19, a lot of matches had to be stopped. But we were looking forward to many more matches against each other.
Hopefully those matches do take place down the road when things open up more. Now, Seymour Snot is probably best known by fans today as being part of the Gouge promotion, Gimmicks Only Underground Grappling Entertainment. It's a bit of a different promotion compared to your standard independent company. Have you ever competed directly for the Gouge promotion?
Yeah, that's actually when I competed with him. I had a blast with Gouge and Grog. You know, the promoter, Grog, he's amazing. He's always been very good to me and very nice to me, treated me very respectfully, and I have a lot of respect for him. And I love wrestling for Gouge. Yes, it is different because, you know, they're wrestling in a lot of different breweries. But it's also fans. You know, it is a different type of fans. It's a different type of show. But it's a very, very fun show for me. I mean, I love it and it's entertaining. So for me, it's not only about what is produced. If there's a TV on it, if there's no TV on it, it's about the fans. And so entertaining wise, I love wrestling for Gouge. It's a lot of fun and a lot of good professionals in every show.
Absolutely. The time I got to work for Gouge, I absolutely enjoyed it myself. So maybe the two of us will end up on a Gouge show down the road together.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, nothing better than wrestling and beer.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of Gouge, it, like we were saying, has a lot of kind of comedic wrestling to it and a lot of entertainment value to it. Comedy wrestling is something that is sort of a hot-button issue with a lot of people. Some people detest any comedy in their wrestling. Some people really, really love having comedy in their wrestling. We've seen promotions like Gouge and Chikara that cater towards the comedic wrestling fans. What's your opinion on that style of wrestling as far as comedy goes?
Comedy has been in wrestling since it started. You know, it's always wrestling has always been an entertaining. It's always been an entertainment business. So, not all matches, of course, should be funny, but at the same time, it's not about just trying to be as funny as you can, as much as entertaining the fans. You know, yes, you can have your comedic moments and comedic spots, and there might be matches. You know, like when WWE used the Beaver, you know, there's so many different things that we've done that people might see, oh, that's just funny, that's hilarious. But, I mean, DX came up with a lot of comedic spots, you know, and then when they fought, they just fought. So, yes, you can incorporate comedy into wrestling. And for me, I mean, it's about entertainment done right. You know, there's a different – if you can tell a story when you're doing it, if you can, if you're fighting the right way, you know, if you put in the spots where they're supposed to be, you know, not just, it's like watching an extreme match, you know, when you see a hardcore match and they just busting light bulbs just to them, but there's no story to it, then it's different than when somebody just set up a stage and doing it different in a different way to the point that now you're understanding what everything is happening, making everything look like a fight, you know, because that is what wrestling is. Professional wrestling is about trying to beat the opponent at every single moment that you can. And if you cannot, if you're not doing that, then you're just doing spot fest, and that's different. Then again, there's fans that love that. There's fans that just love to see a spot fest, and there's fans that love comedy, and there's fans, you know, there's everything in wrestling is everywhere. It depends on where you go. You got to know your fans. You got to know your audience. And then do the right thing at the right time.
Now, like you said, Gouge runs their shows at several different breweries, but pro wrestling can be put into any spot where a ring and some fans will fit. We've seen wrestling in National Guard armories, high school gyms, restaurants, churches. I've seen a lot of different venues over the years. In your opinion, what is the best venue where you've performed so far in your career?
The stadium. In Belton, in Texas, I've been inside a stadium. I've been inside, you know, I've been in gyms that are capacity over 1,500 people. I've been in armories that have like over 100 people. Then again, I've also been in places where it's like 5 fans, you know. Promotions are different and venues are different. I've been outdoors where it's over 1,000 people, you know. So it really, I think when it comes to venues, yes, there is a certain structure that some might think this looks more professional than others. And, of course, everybody aspires to be performing in front of the thousands of thousands inside of a big stadium. But at the same time, I'm all about entertainment, too. You know, I'm not saying I don't like to talk bad about people doing things on a backyard, because I also seen amazing shows on a backyard that are well run with good professional wrestlers that know what they're doing in the ring. But I also seen, of course, people in inside of school that they don't know what they're doing, and the promotion lacks understanding of the professional wrestling business. So I will say it all depends on the promotion. If they have the knowledge, they know what they're doing, the show will look amazing. If they don't know what's going on, then that's the problem. The problem is, so it's not about where you do the show as much as how does the show look. How, when it comes to professional wrestling, you want to make it look as professional as possible. But also there's different fans that don't want to go into a stadium, that they just want to, like, they just want to have a beer and just sit down in the backyard or on the back of a brewery or on the back of a store or on the front of a bowling alley and just watch a show right there. They just want to chill and do a bunch of different. So there's fans for everything, and people will go to a stadium. People will go. Those who like wrestling, they will go anywhere to watch it. So, and I think so. So being specific into what type of venue should be the best. I mean, of course, everybody wants the bigger, the more people, because you get a different feeling. But I also have great matches in places with, like, behind a store in Texas, and people were just ass into the matches inside the stadium.
Now, in your career, I know you've also held quite a few championships, and titles are something that a lot of wrestlers have goals set to accomplish. A lot of people have specific titles in mind. Some people just want any championship in the course of their career. Looking back through your career, was there any particular championship title that you felt was most suited for you, that you seemed to really make that title seem more than it was, or vice versa?
Well, I did held the Ring Wars Carolina Junior Heavyweight Championship, and I held it for a few months, and I had a blast with it. It made my character bigger than life, but then again, it's when you receive a title from a company, I see you more as the promoter sees you as you are somebody who can actually carry that title and make the title look good on the, and make the company look good, so the people will see you as a champion. Of course, I also held the NWA 360 down in Texas for the Central Texas Championship belt, and I was very proud of it. Of course, it was like a cute a quick gig, but it was fun to have it. Held tag team titles for a long time too, and I think titles, yes, they can make you or break you. You know, because a lot of people may have a title and they say, okay, I want to earn this title, but if the company doesn't know how to run the you know, I fought against champions and I lost against champions, but the champions couldn't keep up with me in the ring, and they would be blown up within a minute and a half. So, okay, you won the match, you're still the champion, but how do you really look? You know, so, yeah, you can walk away with a belt, but you still in my eyes or in people's eyes, you're not a true champion. Now, again, I've gone against people that are champions, and they hold the championship up high. And you know when you're going against them, the stakes are raised. And you know they are champion of that company for a reason. So it depends on what championship it is. Yes, would I like to, of course, hold like an AIWF Latin or Caribbean championship? Of course. You know, do I want to be a champion in every company? Of course. You know, everybody wants to be the champion everywhere. But again, understanding that you are a champion, it also means that you are representing those companies, and you have to represent them well. You cannot just be walking around just, oh yeah, I got so many belts and this is why I'm great. Because no, not necessarily because you're holding a belt makes you great. But I see it more as an accomplishment, as the promoter trusts you with their belt around the waist. That's all, and you just become the new representation of that company, so you got to act the part. That's the way I see it. But that's what my opinion when it comes to belts or championships.
At this point in time, my co-host QT Vogues is standing by, and I know he has questions as well, so I'm going to pass things over to him for a bit.
Yeah, yep.
Oh, Thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Mr. Tiger.
Yeah, hello. How you doing, sir?
Pretty good. For the record, I am now at mile marker 87 on I-5, and I have just pulled off. This is for the record. Okay. Mr. Tiger, have you yourself been to the Caribbean, and if so, did you visit the island of Aruba?
I've never been to Aruba. Actually, I was born in Brooklyn and raised in Puerto Rico. So I lived in Puerto Rico from the age of 3 all the way up to I was 23 when I joined the military. But no, I have not. I have not been to Aruba. It's one of those places I always wanted to be to. But I've been to Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic. Unfortunately, I haven't been to Cuba. But that's about it. That's about it, yeah.
Wow. All right. Now, you said you lived in Brooklyn and you lived in Puerto Rico. Were you a big fan of Juan Epstein on Welcome Back, Kotter, who was a Puerto Rican Jew? Juan Epstein.
Well, I cannot say yes, because, no, I was not. I was not. I was definitely not. I was saying no to that question.
Oh, all right. Well, Mr. Tiger, Jamaica is also in the Caribbean and is known for its Blue Mountain coffee. Do you yourself drink the expensive Blue Mountain coffee before matches?
Oh, I wish I could drink every single coffee that I can have in my life. When it comes to coffee, yes, I've been drinking coffee, and yes, I've drank Blue Mountain coffee. And, of course, I have to do everything that I got to do to stay distinguished and stay different than everybody else. So, yes, coffee is part of my repertoire as well as cigars. So I'm more of a cigar fan. Then again, I cannot say more than coffee because I love them both equally. So whiskey, coffee, and not in that order. But, yes, I love me some Blue Mountain coffee. I love me some Jacono, some Cafe Crema, some Colombian coffee. That's what I do.
Okay. All right. Mr. Tiger, our guest on Friday wore black and yellow trunks during a video I saw of him, and he was a big fan of the Killer Bees, Jumpin' Jim Bronzell and B. Brian Blair. Subliminally, I think he was supporting them through his trunk wear. Can you tell
right.
our Turnbuckle Terminal listeners the color of your trunks?
I imagine that as soon as you said black and yellow, I was like, yeah, so we got a honeybee in the house. That's a good deal. That's a good deal. It fits the name. My trunks actually is a match. If you look at my trunks, are white. It says Tiger on the back. The colors are is very colorful when it comes to the names. It has stripes of colors. It also have tassels on the side. So when you look at my outfit is a combination of Ultimate Warrior, HBK, and Macho Man Randy Savage. They are trunks that are very they're white, but they're super bright. It's a very bright, like a metallic white. And same thing with my wristband. They have tassels and wear a coat. Who also has full tassels, like Macho Man used to have his jackets. Of course, my straight white wrestling boots. As the significance of I'm a wrestler, I'm still a grounded wrestler. Therefore, here's the reason why I have no tassels on my boots, neither on my knee pads. But everything else is about being flamboyant. It's about being different than everybody else in the ring. A lot of people in the business, and I don't criticize them. You know, I mean, Triple H wears full black, Batista did too. A lot of people wear black. A lot of people wear red, and the significance because they see people with wearing black, wearing red, and they think, okay, they look like badass. So most likely, if I would just wear black or red, I look like a badass. And well, not necessarily. You know, you can put a rainbow on me and put some white on it. And I will still, can I say kick your ass? Well, I just said it. I can still kick your ass. You know what I'm saying? So I'm all about being flamboyant. That's just me.
Oh, okay. I hear that. Okay. Well, Mr. Tiger, were you a big fan of the Four Horsemen?
Yes. Yes. Who wasn't? I mean, those who had a big love for wrestling, they had to know the Four Horsemen. You know, they were solid. They were extremely good at wrestling, very well telling stories, very amazing when it came to wrestling. And that was just fantastic to me, always phenomenal.
Okay, all right. Now, hypothetically, if the Four Horsemen were assigned Chesapeake rank, that's Chesapeake rank, would you assign Ric Flair the rank of the Queen Piece?
Not necessarily. I just think they were all great. You know, it's yes, the one of course Ric Flair stood out from the group because how loud he was, how flamboyant he was, how extra always he'd been. And if you notice in wrestling, everybody who is extra normally comes out at top, as in being favorite or being seen as the top of it, or as in this case, queen of it. But I also like to look at all the roundness that everybody, look everybody as a whole, look at everybody as a well-rounded wrestler. Yes, of course, I don't know, he was the superstar in it. So if we want to put it that way, that's the way I would put it. So, yeah, it's a yes and no. I don't know, it's a debate because all the ones were amazing as well, you know.
All right. Well, if some fans see the Four Horsemen as chess pieces, would you say that most people would see Tully Blanchard as a horse? A horse. That could move in an L shape.
Right. I will see him more as a tower. I will see him more as a tower. So as a powerful, it's more of a powerful source, not necessarily like a sneaky technique, because you know, as we know in chess, you know, the horse can be sneaky, can be moving in just 2-3 moves. He can already be putting in a place that somebody doesn't think about it. He can actually give you the checkmate. But I see more as a tower. You know, a tower is stronger. It's a little bit more solid, and just with a move or something else in front of it, it can become a real threat. So, like, if you know, a lot of times we like to use the pawns to get right in front of it to, you know, to expose the tower as an undercover, or move the horse out of the way so then the tower comes behind it. So that's the way I will see it. I see it more as a tower than actually a horse.
Oh,
I think that'll
okay.
be all a technique of playing, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Tiger, when the Four Horsemen disbanded in 1999, were you as bummed out as when the rock group Flock of Seagulls disbanded in 1989?
I was more bummed out about the Four Horsemen than the Flock of Seagulls. I'm going to tell you that much. I wasn't too much of the Flock of Seagulls. The Four Horsemen, I think I was more destroyed when the Rockers came apart and the Four Horsemen, because, you know, I grew up liking the faces and not the heels. So when the Four Horsemen, you know, when they separated, it was more of a, okay, well, finally, you know, they won't be messing about with my people no more.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Tiger, Sid Vicious was a Four Horseman in October of 1990 when NWA World Champ Sting defended his title at the Halloween Havoc pay-per-view. Would you assign Sid Vicious pawn status? Getting back to chess, pawn status, having someone in front of you.
Sid Vicious?
Yes.
Sid Vicious has always been Man, that's a really good one, because Sid Vicious, yes, his repertoire wasn't amazing, but he was a force to be reckoned with. You know, he was one of those guys, just right place, right time, and that was it. That would be a wrap, you know? So, can I say a pawn? Definitely not. I will definitely
look.
I really don't know. I really don't know, because I will see him more of a horse. Is that what you said? See him as a horse?
Yes. And a pawn. A horse pawn, yes. A hybrid horse pawn.
A hybrid.
Yes.
Yes. I will say yes. If you look at it as a combination, yes. Also can be seen as a bishop, you know? I can see him as a bishop more, because he just it was almost one dimensional, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got two bishops, yeah, but one only moves on the whites, the other one stays on the black. So, but if you get on the way, you're done. So I will see most of the four of a bishop. So basically, it will be like a combination of a horse. If you combine a horse with a pawn, it will be kind of like that. Like, either have an L shape or front or back, but he can also eat in the quarter. So I'll see more as a bishop.
Okay. Well, Mr. Caribbean, my wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington, inform me that you studied a bachelor of – you achieved a Bachelor of Arts in Psychology – at Hawaii Pacific University. My question
is,
did you ever dip a coconut in liquid nitrogen and use it as a foreign object? That's what I'm asking.
What kind of question is this? Say that again. Again, what?
liquid nitrogen, yes, it makes things hard, yes.
No. No, you cannot mess up coconuts like that, man. What are you doing to me? No.
Oh, okay.
Coconuts are amazing, man. You don't mess up coconut with no nitrogen. What is going on?
Well, if you dip a banana in liquid nitrogen, you can drive nails with it.
Yes.
Yes.
No, thanks.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, Mr. Tiger, would you rather share a prison cell with Al Bundy or Dude Love, and why?
That's a very interesting question. Can you say Al Bundy? No, Ted
yes,
Bundy, right?
Al,
you say Al Bundy. So we're looking at Married with Children. We're not looking at the serial killer, right?
Yeah.
So I would say probably Al Bundy. He's a very mellow guy. He just likes to chill, watch TV. And that's about it. That's a wrap, you know. He don't even care about his wife. So I will go with Al Bundy.
Okay.
He can just be
overdue
TV, just chilling, talking stories, and that's about it.
Yes, he'd probably tell you stories about his four touchdowns at Polk High over prison lunch. That's what I'm thinking he would do. Oh, okay.
Exactly.
Well, at this moment, I'm going to give it back over to Sun Guy.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, QT. Well, Caribbean Tiger, one of the more important things in a professional wrestling show that maybe doesn't get the notoriety of the fan so much is a good referee. Anyone that's been in the business knows that a good referee can help save matches. They can make things a little bit easier in the ring. Bad referees can wreck a good match and hurt a show if they don't know what they're doing. In your career so far, who would you say are some of the top referees that you've worked with on shows?
Oh, wow. There are just a few. We have I'll just start thinking about names. So one of the referees that is very Hunter Rayner. He's a new upcoming referee. He's very good. This is a kid. He's less than 18 years old. He wore to a ring Wars Carolina, but his passion and the way that he moves in the ring, it's amazing. Another referee that I've seen that is really good too, is Warbeer. Warbeer trained with AML, and he is fantastic. He's a very, very, very good referee. Always attentive, paying attention to every single move in the ring. Another one is James Hunter. James Hunter is in movements to retirement, but James Hunter, also known as Hunter Taker, he is very knowledgeable when it comes to the ring. He trained, if I'm not mistaken, also in Ring Wars Carolina, but he's been a part of AML, WrestleCade, and many other promotions, and he is very good at what he does. And Sean Pittman, he's also a very good referee down in North Carolina. From the ones in Texas, I cannot remember names now because it's been so long since I've been in Texas. Well, it's been over 8 years that I've been there, so I cannot remember names of referees over there. But yeah, I mean, there's many referees that are really good out there. You know, I've seen others, of course, when I did the NXT tryout in Atlanta, there was another referee. He was actually pretty good. I can't remember his name, but he was really good over there too. And of course, if we're looking at the old school referees, then of course we have to look at, what's his name from WWE, he was WWE for the longest. I can't remember his name now. It flew out of my.
Do you know the era?
Errol Hebner. Errol Hebner and Brian Hebner. They're both amazing.
Okay.
They're both amazing. Yeah, and I actually had the chance to be in the same show with Errol Hebner, and he is fantastic. He's fantastic. And of course, yeah, everybody's seen him in, you know, with the huge matches in WWE. You know, he was the referee for Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, you know, Hulk Hogan, Ultimate War, you know, many matches that were huge, you know, and he has been with the greatest, and he's fantastic.
One of the things a lot of people in wrestling tend to get into at some point in their career, especially after they've been in for a few years, is the promotional end. A lot of people just like having the control over their own destiny, so they'll open up their own promotion. Some people just like that aspect of the business. Some people think that they're better suited to promoting than they are actual in-ring jobs. Is promoting your own shows something that you've ever considered?
I've thought about it. I've thought about it, yes, but at the same time, it's a lot of work. There's a lot of work when it comes to putting your own promotion together. And it's with the politics in wrestling, it's very hard for you to just try to find a place that you're not from and ensure that there's no other promotion running in that area and then be able to put all the work that requires to actually put a promotion together. It is very difficult. Right now, I've seen sides from in Texas when I was helping run a promotion, you know, and you got to make sure that you have the talent that you're bringing in that's good, you know, that you bring a good product to the fans. You also got to make sure that, you know, your setup is it looks the part, it looks different, you know, and all that costs money. You know, so yes, it is something that crossed my mind many times, but at the same time, in my case, I'd rather just be a professional wrestler, and anything that I can always help with any promoter, if I was ever asked for any help or anything, or I always, of course, ask if they need any help from me, I will do so in everything that I can. But, yeah, of course, yeah, it crossed my mind, but it's a lot of work. You know, I give props to all those promoters who have great companies and do great things because I've seen great products. And also I've seen people that they shouldn't be promoter nor wrestler, and they still do both. But, yeah, that's what it is. You know, not everybody in professional wrestling is amazing. Not everybody in professional wrestling is bad, you know.
Now, in the era that we're in right now, obviously wrestling's a little bit different in almost every place. And for a few weeks, there were essentially no shows at all happening. In this era right now, have you had to make any adjustments to the way that you train or the way that you diet in order to maintain ring shape, or have you been able to continue on as you normally had?
I've been able to continue to train like I have the whole time. You know, yes, a lot of people, unfortunately, when there was a full stoppage of running promotions, a lot of companies run out. Some other companies were able to continue to run, but they were only able to put only wrestlers inside a ring and record matches and then post them on YouTube or post them on social media, whatnot. But I never stopped working out. I try to stay in shape. Actually, I think I got in better shape through the quarantine, because what else is to do other than working out? You know, of course, other people just decided to do the opposite and just stop working out and wait to get back in wrestling. And so I just took it as an advantage to concentrate more on me, because a lot of times when you get so busy with bookings, then it becomes more difficult for you to go to the gym and train, because you just got to go from point A to point B every single day. And now it became an easier task to actually step back and look, okay, let me just actually concentrate on these companies that I think I have a better future with, or a better time with, and concentrate also myself and get some rest or being able to work out.
Now, can you take us through what a typical diet of yours would be like right now? Do you have anything specific that you do diet-wise, or do you kind of let your diet reign a little bit open compared to a lot of the other wrestlers?
No, actually, when it comes to my diet, it depends on my workouts. I count my macros. I actually check how much calories I intake in comparison to how much calories I burn. I also count my fat, the carbs, and protein intake that I have in my body. In order to be able to make sure that my body stays fit, I will say it's super strict, but once you get used to it, then it's just easier, and you basically can eat whatever you want. But everything got to be portioned in a way that you don't overeat carbs or you don't overeat fats. And if you overeat protein, that's okay. But it gets calculated. I have an app that actually helps me out. It's My Fitness Pal. And it helps me calculate all my macros. And it just makes it easy. You put all your food in there, and it tells me how far I am and doing throughout the day. Yet after a while, you know, once you do it for a few weeks or a few months, then you basically already know what you need to be eating in every meal. Because these, of course, are like five meals a day.
Of course, wrestling is a very cardio-intensive sport, and you have to be in good conditioning to be out there. Sometimes matches will go 35, 40 minutes. In years past, hour-long draws were not uncommon at all. They're scarce now, but you still see the occasional one. What would you say to this point has been the longest match that you've ever had?
Over an hour in Texas. It was a match. I was supposed we were actually saying my main event, but one of the guys for the main event was taking forever to show up. So, of course, we're thinking it was just going to be probably by intermission he would have been in or whatnot. So next thing you know, my match just kept extending. And the referee just kept continuing on. So we're wrestling and wrestling, and we're ready for the end. The referee was like, hey, the guy's not here yet, so keep going. And that kept going from a 30-minute match. We had wrestling for about like hour and 10 minutes. And then after that, you know, we came to a point that we were like, okay, the crowd is ready. We got to go home, you know? And fortunately, like as soon as we finished, the other guy happened to show up to the show, and they were able to have their main event. But I think that was the reason why I had other matches that were like 30 minutes long or 35 minutes long. But I never had a problem when it comes to cardio. It's all about pacing yourself in the ring, you know. And when you're telling a story, when you're fighting, if you think about it, if you're in good shape, then you'll be okay. If you're not, I mean, there's a difference between being in wrestling shape and being in just a regular cardio shape, because if you don't know how to pace yourself, you can actually get blown up real quick.
Absolutely. Now, one of the people that would sometimes go to the Hourglass and someone that knew how to pace himself is someone we recently lost, that being Tracy Smothers. He competed in all of the major promotions that are out there over the last 30 years, from WWE to WCW, ECW, MLW, all the bigger ones, and every small independent company out there, he hit the bulk of those as well. Tracy, someone that a lot of wrestlers are donating time and effort to on benefit shows in the last couple of months to raise money for his final expenses. Were you kind of a fan of Tracy Smothers and his style of wrestling? He seems like someone that would be sort of up your alley style-wise.
Tracy Smothers was a very complete wrestler. He has to meet him in person. But by all the stories, unfortunately, after the passing of him, by all the stories by people like Rudy Gonzalez, by Chase Stevens, Dr. Don Pritchard, Les Thatcher, you know, it sounded like he was an amazing guy backstage, as great as he was in the ring. When he came to his style, he was very complete. He was very good. Yes, he might not have been the guy who just flip-flops everywhere, but he was very complete, and he was able to tell a magnificent story in the ring. He was very knowledgeable with what he did, and I wish I could say, yes, I'm just as great as he was. No, of course, you know, there's always room to grow and get better, but he was amazing. So comparing myself to him, it would not be fair to him, because he was just fantastic. It was amazing. But my style, yes, it's more grand. It's more of a Chris Benoit style, Kurt Angle style, mixed with Shawn Michaels. That's the way I see my style more. And, of course, it's not comparing and saying I'm just as good as – no, not at all. I would never be as good as Chris Benoit or Shawn Michaels was or Kurt Angle, but that is what I focus on too.
Now, in the course of your career, I'm sure you've come across many, many situations where eating on the road was somewhat difficult. A lot of times we're limited due to the time that the show ends as to what will be open and what would be available to eat. Do you have any tips to the young wrestlers out there that might be listening as far as being able to maintain a semblance of diet on the road?
When it comes to, you know, meal prepping is highly important. If you're actually trying to eat right, yes, meal prepping is very important. And believe it or not, you know, Waffle House, a good steak from Waffle House with eggs done right, you know, they can do your egg whites, and they can do a nice steak. So if it fits within the meals that you're supposed to be eating, then you should be fine. You know, a lot of times after I finish a match, I already would have my dinner. So I just take a protein shake with me, and I finish it with that, you know, finish my day with that. So it's all about calculating how you eat. Of course, if you are traveling too much to the point that you cannot meal prep or whatever, then yes, it's like I said, if you calculate your macros correctly and you know exactly what you're supposed to be intaking, you can stop anywhere and then just get the food that is convenient to what it fits within what you need. You know, a lot of people do the carnivore diet diet that is all about just eating meat. You know, some people do keto, where it's just cheese and fats and and meat, but no bread, no crackers, no carbs. You know, so it depends. You know, what works for me might not work for other people. Like what works for other people might not work for me. So I will say a lot of people what they need to do is just start just with calculating your macros and trying to try to see what works for you first, and then from there you would decide, okay, this is what actually works for me. This doesn't work for me, because that's how I ended up finding what actually was working for my body type. And it was just that I started with, okay, am I eating too much? Am I not eating enough? You know, because and my problem was I was not eating enough. And when you don't eat enough, your body just hold on to whatever they got. So then I started eating more, and then I just find out I was eating too much. So then I had to slowly start calculating, look for professional help, you know, and they started doing some calculations for me. We went back and forth in different diets, and from there, then I just find out what was working for me. So yes, you can eat a Burger King. Yes, you can eat a McDonald's. Yes, you can eat a Subway. You can eat salads, you know. So whatever works for everybody, it all depends. You know, it's all about calorie intake and how your body digests it. You know, everybody has a different body type and different digestive system. So what works for some people may not work for others.
If you were to give advice to someone that might be listening now that is just considering a career in professional wrestling, looking back on your career, especially the early years of it, what's a couple of pieces of advice that you would consider the most important for someone that might be wanting to do this?
Do your homework. Do your homework when it comes to a training facility. See what good training facilities are out there. Just don't go to anybody. My mistake, I just went to anybody. I just, okay, you, school, let's go. And I was not going to go anywhere there, you know. And then I lived a long time in my life jumping from school to school because I just didn't know any better. I just didn't know any better. And, you know, unfortunately, in professional wrestling, a lot of people are going to sell you dreams. They're going to grab your dream, and they're going to play you with it. You know, it's an unfortunate thing. You know, but find somebody who has the credentials. You know, there's Tom Pritchard, there's Rui Gonzalez, there's Josh up in AML. You know, there are so many. You know, Ethan Case down in South Carolina, you know, it depends on find the credentials. Find who is that trainer that has the experience, that has been there, that knows how to make it to the big leagues, that has been in the big leagues and know exactly what to do and how to take you there. Don't waste your time in people that have no clue how to get there. Don't waste your time in people that are still trying to get there, because if a spot becomes open, a lot of times, if their heart is not in the right mind, they will take that spot before you. And that's one of the things that people got to think about. That's what I mentioned, for example, Eddie McCoy down in Ring Wars, Carolina. This guy's been doing shows with ECW. We have Tom Pritchard. What is not to say about Tom Pritchard? You know, Tom Pritchard has been the head coach down at the Performance Center. Les Thatcher has been a coach of Performance Center. He's been doing this for over 40 years. I think it's actually over 60 years. So, you know, Rudy Gonzalez has thrown a lot of wrestlers up into the WWE, into WCW, into different areas. You know, he's been a guest at the Performance Center. Now in Texas, they also have a Dustin Rhodes. You know, he's over the Goldust. You know, he's now running a school over there too. You know, he's been there, done that. He knows what he's doing. You know, that's what people need to do. People need to go to a school where the trainer knows how to get there. The trainer will give you the tools to get there. And that's how you make it to professional wrestling. That's how you get there faster. Of course, if you can get that chance to get to the Performance Center, if your dream is to go to WWE, get your application put in right away to the Performance Center. Know that if you have that move, make that move. You know, go down to Florida and just start bothering at the doors, you know, just say, I want to be in, I want to be in, try to do the tryouts, you know, and everything that you got to do, just watch out for those who are just affiliated with big companies, and they're just grabbing that money to just bring a trainee inside. So it's, I just say, just keep your eyes open and protect your dream and make sure that you do your homework before you actually sign up to anywhere.
Well, we are down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to give you ample time if there is anything you would like to say to our listeners, anything you want to plug and promote, upcoming appearances, social medias, merchandise, your favorite vacuum cleaner store, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
Thank you very much. Well, when it comes to wrestling, you know, Ringwood, Carolina will be coming back in December. He'll be coming down to Lumberjack on December 5th. Palmetto Championship Wrestling will be coming down in January 2nd. There are a lot of promotions out there that are really good. Everybody got to keep your eyes on the Caribbean Tiger. Yes, go follow my page, Caribbean Tiger. I'm on Facebook. I'm on also on Instagram. I am on Twitter. Follow me if you would like to. I'm very friendly. I'm not as a bad person as you may see me, as the people know me as the man that you love to hate. I could be friendly if I feel like it. So I try to do my best when it comes to that. And I would say support professional wrestling. So professional wrestling is an art. Support those wrestlers who are amazing out there. Support those promotions who are trying really hard to provide a good product to you. And if you are a professional wrestler, one of the things that I want to tell you is to be professional. It's exactly what it says in the name. Professional wrestler means that you have to act like a professional. Look professional. Look like you don't belong in the crowd. Look like you belong in the ring. Believe that you belong in the ring. Know how to wrestle. Don't just always sit down in the back and just plant A through Z in your match. Know how to be able to get in the ring and just feel the crowd. Just know the opponent. Just know and believe in what you know and be able to put it together in a match. You know, you don't have to get all your stuff in every single time that you get in the ring. A lot of people just like to do that. I just got to do a XYZ because I always do XYZ in every match. No. A lot of people, unfortunately, got used to some matches in high companies where they always see that the comeback is always the same, where they always see that you know, John Cena have to just – the people got to throw that close line, miss it, and then get thrown down. You can't see me. The five-knuckle shuffle lift you up, and everybody – everybody knows exactly what John Cena was going to be his comeback. Reason why people got tired of it. I don't take nothing away from John Cena because he's there for a reason. He was a face of WWE for a while, and he looks the part. He looks like he belongs in that ring. But just try to be different. Try to make sure that all your matches look different. Don't do the same match every single time. Do something different. Do something that you continue to entertain the fans. Know who you are. If you don't know who you are, you will never be able to perform in front of people. If you have no idea who your character is, what it means to be you, like, for example, the Caribbean Tiger. I'm the guy from the Caribbean who acts like a tiger, but I am not 100% tiger. It's not like I'm going to get in the ring in 04 and start growling at people and pounding on them. That's not what I do. I'm just an aggressive animal that people just want to go after, but do you really want to mess up with the tiger? No, you don't want to mess with the tiger because you know you're going to get hurt. So be you, enjoy what you do, have fun with it. And the last thing I want to say is thank you guys very much for having me in your show, for giving me this amazing and wonderful opportunity to talk with you guys. And it has been a pleasure. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Pleasure was definitely ours, and hopefully we get to do this again soon, and hopefully at some point down the road we'll be sharing a locker room and gouge together.
No, that'll work. Anywhere you want, just let me know. You got my number now, so anytime.
All right, fans, definitely go buy yourself a ticket if the Caribbean Tigers on a show near you. Will worth it. So make sure you support him and what he does. We will be back with you next week. Next Friday afternoon, we have the return of Jacob Johns to the show. And a week from today, we have author Vinnie Barry, who helped co-write Lance by Chance, Wrestling as a Von Erich, the Lance Von Erich autobiography. I think you're going to be intrigued by what he has to say, so join us then. Stay safe out there. We'll talk to you soon.
Once a man is glad, you spoke like your grandmother. 200 acres down, and there's no way.